It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We are here for the next hour. We need to get right into it. Good morning. This is beautiful weather in Atlanta, by the way. 66 degrees on Peachtree. Wonderful weather finally as we get here into September. But there's so much to talk about. You know, how many times have you gotten an alert on your phone about North Korea? Testing and testing and testing. When will that stop? So that's obviously a topic we need to address. Of course, Hurricane Harvey, unbelievable devastation, both in life and property and memories, just gone in really the worst flood in the history of the world. And it's all happening right before our eyes, unfolding on the news. And then all of this swirls around what happens in the stock market. So these are the things I want to talk about. However, what really impacts us all is, and this is another set of data that came out from the Wall Street Journal this week that I think is probably even more relevant to you and your path as you work in the U.S. economy and you try to figure out a way to be financially independent and stop working. And that is this massive, massive divide between how you feel about work and how your employer feels about you. You and your employer, by the way, whoever you work for, and yes, some of this will apply to small business, even if you're working for yourself. So think about whether you're an employer or an employee listening to this. This is really what smacks all of us in the face every day of the week in America. You and your employer, or you and your employees, depending on what side of the table you're on, will continue to fall out of love. This is more than a 30-year trend. If you go back and look at data from the Conference Board, they measure employee satisfaction. How do you feel about all the major components in work that deals with your life, your colleagues, your commute, your pay? Are you fairly compensated? Are you reviewed properly and adequately? Do you have benefits? Do you appreciate those benefits? Are your wages going up like they should be going up? Are you appreciated or not? Is your company taking care of you in the future? Are they paying for your health care? Do you feel as though they are on your side? And this relationship, this employer-employee relationship, it's in decline. And it's leading to this building undercurrent of employees retiring as soon as humanly possible. Get me out of here. So it's an every man for themselves economy. Every man and woman for themselves. The American labor force has less we and more I and them than it has ever had. So Americans are again, today, and this is a short-term blip or a trend, just recently we've seen, and this is as we've come back from the Great, Great Recession, as the unemployment rate has dropped from 10% all the way back down to 4.4% as of this last August in the latest report. But as Americans have recently become more satisfied with their jobs, ever so slightly, mostly because their expectations today, their expectations now of what you really think you deserve or get out of your employer, those expectations have just cratered. So satisfaction has actually come up a little bit because we just expect less as employees. We have had a generation today that they don't even romanticize anymore about a company running alongside them for the long haul. Come on with me. Let's get to the finish line together. Nobody even thinks that anymore. That's not even a thing. There's a recent Wall Street Journal study, just updated, just came out. The percentage of workers who have long-term financial support from their employers. I want to measure those numbers and review those with you today. I want to compare today's numbers with what the workforce looked like only a few decades ago. So let's talk about some data from the EBRI, the Employee Benefits Research Institute, again, through the Wall Street Journal. American sense of retirement security has dropped. And I would say that, to say the least. 1993, not talking about that long ago, 24 years ago, 73% of U.S. workers felt confident they could afford a comfortable retirement. A comfortable retirement. Almost three-quarters of America felt pretty darn secure that that was going to be the case, according, again, to EBRI. Today, 2017 numbers, just holding on to 60%. So 40% of people feel as though they don't even have a shot at a comfortable long-term retirement. So this is 24, 25 years. Let's go back to 1993, and I pulled up S&P 500, looked at what the market did. I wanted to see what gross domestic product did over that same period of time. So our confidence in the future retirement gone down, plummeted like a rock. Our long-term satisfaction has continued to decline with our work and our employer. And what is coincided with this? Well, all this drop of confidence and love or relationship with work, it's coincided with an absolute economic and stock market boom. That's what's so ironic about this. During that period of time, the economy virtually tripled. So if you go back to 1993, we were doing about $6.5 trillion in gross domestic product. Today, we are clipping at around $18.5 trillion in GDP, 2017. How about the S&P 500? S&P 500, you go back, this is a remarkable chart. You go back to, and this is in a total return calculator, January 1993 to January of 2017. S&P 500 is up 422%. S&P 500 total return with dividends reinvested, which you're going to do. So this is a more realistic number, up over 730%. I'll say that again. In that same period of time, the economy tripled in size, and the S&P 500 was up over 730%. $100,000 in 1993 invested would be worth over 800 grand today. So if you had just been getting going back then in the early 90s, you'd have $1 million saved today. And that's without even saving a penny since then. That is massive economic growth, massive stock market growth, yet the financial comfort level of the average American has dropped like a rock. Yes, today unemployment's a heck of a lot better than it has been in the last several years. Now we're looking at an unemployment rate of 4.4%. Yes, we have a little bit of wage growth, up 2.5% year over year, this past July in 2017. Yes, it's lifted worker satisfaction a little bit. Today, that measure, 51% of the labor force is satisfied, quote, with the job. And that rebound, though, is not... You go back to 2010, less than 45% of folks were satisfied with their job. But the real story here is not just the last couple of years as its satisfaction's crept up just a little bit. The real story is that the job worker satisfaction has dropped in a long-term trend precipitously since the 1980s. Go back to 1987. Americans had a satisfaction rate of over 60%. Look at a chart from the late 80s until the end of the Great Recession. That just continued to drop year after year after year until we were down all the way to 45%. So it's this 30-year trend of lower and lower overall worker satisfaction. So the employee-employer relationship is in decline. And this is leading to this undercurrent of you thinking, hey, I got to get out of here. I got to retire, be able to say goodbye whenever I'm ready, as soon as humanly possible. And I'm certainly going to publish on this, and there's a couple great charts about this. But again, we've seen this trend since 2010. The economy has improved, as we know. Worker satisfaction has gotten a little bit better. But again, the more relevant statistic is this long-term lower satisfaction. Employers have shed more and more responsibility for the employees' financial future. One, healthcare costs paid by employees have steadily risen. You know that from your paycheck. How much are you putting into your insurance healthcare continues to go up. Pension coverage, I want to do these numbers today. Pension coverage, it's effectively evaporated for most people. Employers have generously allowed workers to save their own money instead of that. So the real bottom line here is that worker satisfaction has, yes, creeped higher lately, but the divide of corporate loyalty is going to continue to go down. And it's only going to accelerate your desire and your drive to get to a point where you don't need your job anymore. And you reach a point of financial independence. It takes about 25 years, if you do it right on the nose, if you do it perfectly, to get this financial freedom for most folks. If you do it perfectly. For most people, it takes a lot longer than that. It takes 35, 40 years. And then some people never find it. But most of the battle has to do with discipline. It has to do with controlling your emotions about investing. And something that I don't think we talk about enough here, because maybe I take it for granted on how I see the economy, you've got to have an optimistic and really, more importantly, a proactive and optimistic outlook on the economy that we live in. Otherwise, you're going to get thrown out of bed every morning by an alert from the Wall Street Journal that says North Korea just tested another hydrogen bomb. And that'll throw us off track over and over and over again. And by the way, these are problems that we face in the world. They're scary problems. These are solvable problems that we will do something about and we will fix. We've got to be able to see through these problems. Otherwise, we're just stuck doing nothing, going nowhere. It's hard enough with the tailwind of the economy growing, with the S&P 500 going up north of 9%, 10% a year during the period of time I just mentioned. Yet, confidence in the ability to really retire has gone down. So we've got to be able to have this optimism. We've got to be able to be proactive as investors in order to fight through all this clutter and this sea of angst in the world that we live in today. We're going to continue to talk about all these important topics: North Korea, Hurricane Harvey, the pension numbers around the world, analysis of data and retirement in America, all coming up right here. You're listening to Money Matters with me, your host, Wes Moss, right here on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio. Couple of thoughts on, again, brand new data that has come out in the Wall Street Journal, a new data compilation, if you will, 35 years ago, comparing the labor force 3.5 decades ago to what it is today. Namely, this relationship between employees and employers. Very different today than it was. Both sides dramatically reducing loyalty to each other. And I want to go through some of these numbers here. The workday, by the way, getting longer. Back in 1973, only 6% of Americans complained about working excessive hours. Today, that number has gone through the roof. So in 2016, over 25% of workers said they usually work more than 48 hours. That was just super rare to go back into the 1970s. And then the intensity has crept up. Back in the 70s, 1973, only 7% said that they had difficulty getting everything done or difficulty completing work in the time allotted. Over 50% in 2016. So today, U.S. workers said that they have difficulty finishing everything and have to go into their free time. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Work is more of a 24/7 endeavor in the economy we live in today. I want to go to the phones too when we get back in the third segment. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Give us a call here. Good morning, Money Matters. It's Labor Day weekend. Again, 404-872-0750. Stay tuned, WSB.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. 68 degrees on Peachtree. Beautiful Sunday. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We're only here for an hour today, so let's get to it. Then and now, we're talking about the statistics, the labor market, how things have changed so dramatically between you and your employer, and how we feel about work and why we're so eager to get out of work or get to a position where we can get out of work. So you and your employer, you're going to continue to fall out of love with your employer. And if you're a business owner, it seems as though the same relationship has happened to you and your employees. It's a 30-year trend that is very likely to continue. Then you throw on top of that Mother Nature and Hurricane Harvey, the devastation that we just seen in Texas, Louisiana. Just massive, massive flooding. We all know about this. We've seen it on TV. And then we get alerts literally every morning, especially this past week, about North Korea. They fire a missile over Japan, and then things calm down for a day or two. And then you wake up this morning, and there's another hydrogen bomb test. And you have this ridiculous propaganda that comes out of North Korea when it comes to Kim Jong-un hanging out with what seemed to be military/scientists, all chuckling over what seems to be a bomb. I mean, just ridiculous. And these are the things we're talking about here on Sunday morning because they matter to the market. That's what matters right down to the world. And it is scary and it is angst, and we'll get through it though. And I want to talk about why we get through this. The number here in the studio, we are live this Sunday morning. So you may be headed out to the golf course, which would be a good idea, by the way. Beautiful day here in the Southeast. I have not checked weather around the country. So if you're listening in California, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, a good morning. If you're headed to church, coming home from church, maybe it's brunch, or you're in the city, you're just hanging out in your kitchen or on your porch in the mountains. Hey, Wes, wait a minute. How did you know I was doing that? Well, that's what we do on Sunday mornings, especially on a Labor Day weekend. Good morning, and we are live this Labor Day Sunday weekend. The number in the studio, give us a call with your financial questions, conundrums, you name it, and things that have been on your mind. And maybe you're about to make a financial decision, or maybe you're being pressured or sold something and you're wondering, hey, maybe is this a good idea or not? Maybe I'll get a second opinion from Wes Moss on Money Matters, WSB Radio on a Sunday morning. And maybe you're just trying to figure out the math behind retirement, and your company is one of these companies that's fallen out of love with you. You've fallen out of love with them. It's pretty mutual. And they're trying to give you a pension, maybe 3 years early, 4 years early than you expected. Hey, we'll give you a lump sum. Here's 200 grand. Or no, wait a minute. Here's 1,000 a month. Which one do you take? What's the better deal? Lump sum versus monthly pension. Have you made a switch to low-cost ETFs? Are you still in high-cost underperforming mutual funds? These are the things we can help you tackle right here on a Sunday morning. So, phone lines open. Give us a call in the studio, 404-872-0750. That's the number here in the studio. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning. Ryan Ealy with me again this morning, producer of Money Matters for over 10 years now, to take your call. He'll patch those calls through. Again, the number in the studio, give us a call, 404-872-0750, the number in the studio, or you can call us very simply, 1-800-WSB-TALK. That's just 1-800-WSB-TALK. And particularly if you have thoughts about these numbers, you think do you feel the same angst in the numbers that I'm talking about here today? Let's go through some of these right now. So we've got this. Again, we talked about how the work week is getting much longer than it was in the 70s and the 80s. Just continues to go up. The work is more demanding than it's ever been. 2/3 of American workers say their jobs require them to spend at least half of their time working at high, high speeds to meet deadlines. In 1980, let's talk about health insurance just for a second. 1980, 97%. So basically all full-time workers at large and medium-sized companies had health insurance through their employers. And most of them didn't even pay for it. 72% of, if you were single, 72% of folks back in 1980 didn't pay a health care premium. None. Zero. 51, if you had a family and you were covering the entire family, 51% of families didn't pay a premium. Can you imagine in today's world, zero? You're paying zero for healthcare? Doesn't happen, does it? In 2016, only 61% of workers, full-time and part-time at large companies, had employer-sponsored health insurance. Again, remember, 1980, that number was 87%. That number was 97%. 97 down to 61, then and now. Look at small companies, which are less likely to offer insurance. Now the whole share in America, that number drops to 55% of companies offering healthcare insurance. Very few employers are paying for healthcare insurance completely. Again, only 12%, but down from, go back into 1980, 72% of folks that were single and had healthcare coverage, they didn't even pay for it. Today, that number is all the way down to 12%. And if you have a family, it's only 3%. It's unheard of. Now, here's another thought with this work-life balance. Is it really getting better? Well, here's where you get, and this is the some of this data was saying, oh, well, maybe it is getting a little bit better, this work-life balance. Here's the case they're trying to make. Well, back in 1979, 56% of full-time workers received paid days off to treat an illness or an injury. Well, fast forward to today, that number's gone up. Now 76% of full-time workers have paid days off. So call that a shift in companies trying to be a little bit more humane. I don't know if that's really what it is. Maybe it's because of more PR pressure on companies today versus back then. Things like parental leave. So in 1995, only 2% of full-time workers at medium and large companies had access to paid parental leave. Today, that number is 16%. So that's gone up a little bit. That this is trying to make a case that, hey, the employee environment has gotten more friendlier, and I contend that it really hasn't. So I don't think it's really actually gotten any better, because now we are working more 24/7 in America. All these adjustments about being able to, here's another adjustment. Back in 1995, only 2% of employees were allowed to work remotely. 2% back in 1995. Today, we all know that number has skyrocketed. According to the data, it's only now 8% of folks, so that's quadrupled. But according to SHRM, which is Society for Human Resource Management, estimates that number to be much higher than 8%. We've got to get to the phones here. Yeah, I'm going to get to the phones. So we've got, and of course, you know about pension evaporation. Back in 1979, almost 40% of private sector workers had a pension in force, and their employers guaranteeing a monthly payout to retirement. Today, that number is closer to 10%. So 40% down to 10%, a massive, massive drop. We're going to go to the phones here, 404-872-0750. Mary Ann joins us from Lawrenceville. What's going on, Mary Ann? Wes Moss here to help.
Good morning, Wes. I was just listening, and you were talking about the number of employers that don't provide medical and dental benefits for their employees. And I'm a small business owner in Georgia, in Gwinnett County, and I do have only 10 employees, but I provide 100% of their medical and dental for their families. Not just for the employee, because it's how you retain good employees, you know, people that you're taking care of. I'm forced to show them once a year the cost of that hidden, you know, benefit on their paycheck because of the tax law. But
all right, so now they're actually paying taxes though on this is a benefit?
No, not yet. I mean, but the thing is, the federal government started asking us to report the dollar value of those benefits about 3 years ago. So I have to compile the data once a year.
Oh, that's right. We do that too. Yeah. So we're starting to track, because eventually you and I both know that that's going to be something that ultimately gets taxed at some point.
Well, and you could be right. And the thing is, if it does, then I'm prepared to gross up my employees' checks, because I'm not going to let them be hurt by that. But the thing is, I think that by providing for medical and dental benefits for my employees and their families, I'm able to retain good employees. They know that I do care about them. You know, they work hard for me. I have long believed that if you want to grow your business, then you better take care of your employees, because they're the ones that are watching out for you all the time.
There's not a lot of Marianne's left in the world today. What industry are you in, Marianne?
Wholesale distribution of industrial components. So what we do is we vendor manage parts to our customers' production lines. So our customers give us, you know, they'll send us engineering prints, and they'll say, go find us 6,000 of these or 100,000 of these. We find it, we bring it into inventory, and then we deliver it to them so that they can minimize the time they have to keep it in inventory.
And how long have you guys been in business, Marianne?
I'm so glad you asked. 30 years this year.
Whoa. So in the same, this is exact data set that as I'm talking through these numbers today, we're talking about the last 30 years. So we've seen most employers continue to push more and more onto the employee. What you have been able to do is buck the trend and not do that. Is your industry, do you see your industry peers doing the same thing? Or are you guys, I'm thinking about one of my favorite books in the world by Malcolm Gladwell called Outliers, because it sounds like, I know, and statistically what you're doing is really, you're kind of an outlier in this. Is this your industry that is a healthy industry, or are you just an employer that is able to really retain great people and it's worked for everyone's benefit?
I think that this is more indicative of my personal philosophy than it is of the industry that I'm in. I've seen my industry, they are continuing to pare down, you know, what they're giving their employees. But it's important to me, first of all, to treat my employees the way that I want to be treated. I've had the benefit over my career of working for some outstanding corporations. One of the corporations was headquartered in Sweden, and they paid for all of, you know, like my dependent care, my health benefits. And so when I became a business owner, I wanted to do the same thing. It was very, very important to me to do that. And then the other thing that's important is, because we're a small company, I can do things that maybe other companies can't do. So we've had occasions where we've had employees that have been out on medical leave, you know, for 3 months or 6 months.
Well, here's the other thing, and we've got to run here, but I think that I really appreciate your call, and I think that you also bring up a good point. This is indicative of why more and more companies over the last, again, 10 or 15 years have gone private. Because you have less and less pressure from shareholders and private equity buyers and new people on the board and all of the pressures that publicly traded companies have for shareholders. And it's not necessarily a bad thing for investors, but it makes it really hard for an employer to continue to have this nice balance and work balance with your employees, because it doesn't necessarily, it isn't the optimal thing for the bottom line. And I think you're a really good example why private companies are able to continue to be great places to work. Marianne, thank you for your call. And I called today for a little bit of optimism, proactiveness in this economy and optimism about the future and how to be able to be in a position to leave your employer when you are ready, as opposed to being forced out. The topic today here on Money Matters. Prize Pack, when we return, you are listening to Money Matters. Find me and the Money Matters team, Wes Moss, Ryan Ely, and the whole group at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. We're in Atlanta. We're in Florida. We're in California. Happy to talk throughout the week with your financial questions. Stay tuned right here, News 95.5, AM 750, WSB.
Atlanta.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters, Sunday mornings. While we're in Bulldog football, so UGA football, while it's college football season, we are from 9 to 10, Money Matters, because we have Bulldog brunch coming at 10 o'clock. So from 10 to noon, 2 hours of Bulldog brunch. So for the next several weeks of football season, we are truncated to an hour. So get your calls in next week here in the studio. We've got to go a quick prize pack. Ryan Ely, what do we have going on?
The prize pack is a 4-pack of tickets to the Fall Atlanta Home Show and Outdoor Living Expo, September 8th through the 10th at Cobb Galleria Center, and a pair of tickets to see Star Wars and More, the music of John Williams with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra on September 16th at Verizon Amphitheater. The winner, or the trivia question this week, what is the most expensive stadium in the United States, sports stadium in the United States? Hint, it's actually not Mercedes-Benz. It's not ours.
Well, that's exactly what I thought it would be. Good question. The prize line, 404-741-0750. Again, 404-741-0750. As we have to run, find me and the Money Matters team at wesmoss.com under the Money tab. Again, WESMOSS.com. Contact button, upper right-hand corner. Those emails come straight to me and the team. Enjoy the rest of this wonderful Labor Day weekend. Stay tuned to the best programming on the planet. News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.